All right, wonderful message and song. Go ahead and take your Bibles tonight. 1 Kings chapter 19. Give you just a moment to find it. And I appreciate the Lawrences singing that song tonight. Very appropriate. I feel like we've had a very fruitful week as a church. Been able to see a couple of people saved and been able to see the Lord at work and do a few things. And that's always an exciting thing. You know, I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that is so uniquely resourced, especially during this time. We've got a lot of technical guys that work for us and our benefit as a church on Sundays and Wednesdays, but then outside of that to figure out the next thing of how we can be more effective in our online ministry right now. And I'm very appreciative of that. I'm thankful for the virtual teen time that we were able to get up and running. Been doing that for a couple to 3 weeks now. And we've had a good attendance for that. Had about the same attendance as we normally would have around this time of year. And so that's a great thing. And we'll continue doing that until the end of the school year. But very thankful for Temple Baptist Church. And hopefully as we are able to be a blessing to you during this time, I know that the church has been a great blessing to me as well. 1 Kings chapter 19, I want us to look at a somewhat familiar passage. I know Pastor has been sort of in and around this passage in the past month or so in his Wednesday night study. But I want us to look at a particular thought tonight that I hope will be an encouragement and a challenge to us. Go ahead and notice our verse that we're going to use as our launching point. Look at what it says, chapter 19 and verse 4. It says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.'" You know, Elijah here has reached a point in his life where he is as an older man, he's lived a full life, but he's come to the point where he's ready and willing to throw in the towel, so to speak. He's ready to throw everything aside, and he's really asking the Lord, "Lord, just take me home." I don't know about you, but I'm sure that if you're anything like me or some other men that are pretty well known, there's been come a point in your life, and maybe several points, where you have been tempted to quit. If you have, you're in good company this evening, because there are several prominent figures that if we could somehow resurrect and ask them, was there ever a point where you were tempted to quit? Most assuredly, they would say yes. In fact, there's been quite a few written about these men and their battles. You would notice the likes of Walt Disney, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, and the list goes on and on. Most of these men here and the things that they have in common is the fact that at some point in their life, before they became as successful as they would become, they came to sort of a crossroads which they faced a great difficulty and were tempted to just quit. You know, Elijah is a great man of God, but even he, a seasoned believer, was tempted and struggled with the thought of quitting. The reality is, each of us will struggle at some point in time with the desire to quit. And what we do in that moment can make the difference, all the difference in the world. Now, what are some things that maybe you have been tempted to quit on? Maybe your mind goes all the way back to younger days when your parents maybe forced you to take some type of instrument. And you looked at that instrument and you just thought, you know, I really am not all into this. And maybe at some point after a while, you begged your parents and pleaded, and they finally, maybe they let you quit. Maybe you look at maybe a home project that you started at some point, and you got up to your elbows and you realized that you were far in too far deep. And you said, you know what, I think maybe now is a good time for me to stop while I'm ahead, so to speak. But maybe there's some more serious things that have come across your plate that you have been tempted to quit on. You know, our lives are made up of many different things. Relationships are a big part of that. Sometimes people are tempted to just withdraw all effort into certain relationships that are a struggle and sort of quit on those relationships. You know, sometimes Christians can get frustrated with a certain prayer request that maybe you've been seeking the Lord for a good length of time, and maybe even months has turned into years, and those years have turned into many more. And maybe you've been tempted at some point just to sort of throw up your hands and say, well, it's never going to happen. I think maybe I'll just let it go. There are a variety of things that sometimes we could be tempted to quit on. You know, I think about this time of year for a lot of those who are getting their education, whether it be a high school student or an elementary student or even some of our college students who are finishing up their year, looking forward to maybe even graduation. But usually right around this time, they start getting into something called finals. And when you say that word finals, a lot of times it wells up inside of people who are in school, stress and frustration. Maybe there's some high school students and some college students out there that in preparation for your finals or in frustration regarding it, you've been tempted to just sort of quit. Regardless of how you have been tempted in the area of quitting, there are some things that we can learn from Elijah tonight in 1 Kings chapter 19. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and ask for the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is our desire to persevere in the areas that, Lord, you want us to. Lord, the responsibilities that you've given us, Lord, the things that you have said ought to be important to us. Lord, each one of us, I'm sure, has struggled. Lord, have even been tempted to maybe withdraw effort or to quit in some of these areas. But Lord, I pray that you would unveil those areas, Lord, tonight to us. Lord, maybe there's something we should be doing that we have quit on. Lord, would you open up our understanding to that? Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. And Lord, as we have but just a few short moments here this evening, we ask, Lord, that you would direct our thinking. Father, that you would call the shots. And Lord, that we would surrender our heart to your control. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Hey, as we get back to our text, I want to answer this question tonight and sort of look at if we were to sit down with Elijah at this point in his life and say, Elijah, why are you at this point of so frustration and just to the point where you're ready to give up on everything and quit? What has brought you to this place? First of all, I think that Elijah would have something to say about his effort. Notice number one, Elijah's effort. Now, if you look with me at verse 1 here, you sort of get a little bit of the context. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Mount Carmel was the chapter before this. And with how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Now, if we had the time tonight and we could read all through the Mount Carmel experience, it was a great victory of God. God unveiled his power in a great way. He used the prophet immensely in a huge way. Elijah accomplished exactly what the Lord wanted or had told Elijah to do. So if any moment we look at this and say, okay, why is it that the prophet of God is so interested in quitting at this moment in time? You know, certainly if you're going to be successful in any area, there needs to be effort involved. But if we were to look at the effort of Elijah, it is in no place in Scripture is it in question. According to the Word of God, and certainly what's happening here in this area of Scripture, Elijah had done exactly what the Lord had asked him to do. And so from Elijah's perspective, he has put himself completely into this situation. Maybe you have had a project of some sort or set a goal for yourself, and maybe it was a little bit of a timeline and you knew it was going to be a crunch, but you thought, you know, if I give myself completely to this, I'm going to get it done. I'm just going to make sure that I get it done, even if I have to stay up till 2-3 in the morning. We've all been in those situations. We've put forth a lot of effort, and sometimes it can be a discouraging when we don't quite get what we want. But Elijah is in this place where I believe the first thing he would say is, you know what, I've put forth a lot of effort. We notice that effort is a part of being successful. The Word of God speaks of that. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. You know, sometimes teenagers want to quit on something because it's a little bit difficult. Sometimes they run up against a subject they're not as proficient in, and oh boy, it's just a little bit hard to do the daily work in regard to that subject, and sometimes they don't want to put the effort in. Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Proverbs 18 and verse 9, he also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is of a great waster. Sometimes we want to quit after great effort has been released. Elijah's not getting the outcome that he wanted to, which is what we're about to look at here. Maybe you have been in a position before where you have exerted great amount of energy. Maybe you set a goal and you wanted to win somebody to the Lord, and you said, you know, 2020, I really want to make sure that I'm out on visitation, and boy, wouldn't it be great if somebody got saved? Maybe you went into the weekly task of praying about that and seeking the Lord. Maybe there's another area of your life, a relationship that has needed some cultivation. Maybe it's a parent with a child, or maybe it's a spouse to a spouse, and you said, you know, this is an area of my life that needs to be cultivated, needs to be worked on. I need to invest in this relationship. And maybe you say, put the work in. Well, sometimes that can be a discouraging factor when you think that you've put all the effort in the world and yet the results aren't quite there. Well, that's where Elijah's at. The Bible says here in the first verse of chapter 19, it depicts everything that Elijah has done in chapter 18. So we see Elijah's effort. I believe that he would speak about the fact that he put much effort into what he was doing. Notice number two, though. Notice Elijah's expectations. And we really see this clearly. Look back at chapter 18 and verse 37. Chapter 18 and verse 37. Now, as we look at this, understand what's taking place here. There's a showdown between the God of Israel and the God of Baal. And so this is the exciting thing that Elijah was looking forward to. God's people had not been doing right for so long. Elijah had known that. He had preached about it. He had talked about it. He had prophesied. The Lord had used him to create a spiritual awareness. But it never seemed to quite follow through. And you maybe you have had some similar feelings at times where you've had a desire for maybe America, and boy, wouldn't it be great if America could just get back to God and have a little bit more spiritual initiative than maybe what we have now. And Elijah had all of that, but he had it for the people that God had called him to. And so you can imagine, as the Lord told him, hey, I want you to go up to Mount Carmel and this is what I want you to do. You can imagine the excitement and the expectation that Elijah probably had at this moment. Wow, this God could use this event to start a revival in Israel. Wow. Elijah goes up to the Mount of Carmel. He's there. Gives the prophets of Baal the opportunity to call out to their God, and we see that depicted here. They begin cutting themselves, crying out to Baal, and we see it's to no avail, right? There's no answer. Then it's Elijah's turn. And Elijah, in dramatic fashion, he wants the Lord God to get all the credit in the world. He doesn't want there to be a question at all as to who has all of the power. And so he resurrects an altar there. And he's going to bring down fire from heaven, but before he does, he has the servants come and to take buckets of water, and he makes a trench, and he makes it so that there's just water everywhere, and they pour water in there. He says, all right, now I want you to go do it again. They go get water, they pour it in there. And just as to make sure that nobody can say this thing wasn't fully saturated with water, he says, hey, listen, go back and get a third trip for me. They put it all on there, and this is where Elijah turns his prayer to heaven. Notice what it says here in verse 37. The end of verse 36, would you look at that middle of the verse? Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word, Elijah's effort, right there, verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. But notice this, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. You see Elijah's expectation? Boy, he doesn't only want the people of God to be able to see a great work, but he wants He wants revival. Lord, would you use this event to bring back a nation to you? Oh, he's got great expectation. Elijah's put himself to the work. He's thrown himself into it. Nobody can question that. Elijah has a great expectation for the people that God has called him to. And now I believe that this was one of the things that brought him to this place. You say, how is that? Well, his expectation wasn't quite met. You notice the end of chapter 18 here, and you see that the prophets of Baal are slain. And as Elijah would have liked nothing more than the whole nation to experience revival, we find that two figures are preventing that at the present time. Ahab and Jezebel, they don't get right with the Lord. In fact, they dig their wicked heels into the dirt. And they come after all the prophets, including Elijah. And so now Elijah's on the run. Elijah, why is it that you're at this place where you want to quit? Maybe he would have said, you know, the effort that I've put in here. Maybe he would have said, well, you know, my expectation here was revival, and we didn't get it, God. Maybe you've been at a place where you've had some high expectations. You know, it's not wrong to have expectations. In fact, it's great to have hope in God. But we need to remember that we have to leave room for God's perfect timing. You know, I would like nothing more than to experience revival in America. And I would like nothing more for it to happen right now. But that's not always how God works. And we're going to see that as the Lord moves towards refreshing Elijah and responding to Elijah. Not only do we see Elijah's effort, Elijah's expectations, but I want you to see, third of all, Elijah's estimations. Now this is where Elijah is going to start reasoning a little bit. And let me just say this, before we beat up on Elijah too much, understand that we have the blessing of being able to see Bible characters at their lowest point. Have you ever thought about that? I'm glad the Lord does not put Scott Devane's lowest point in the scriptures for everybody else to see. Because, you know, there's been some times where I've had some low points where my reasoning was not what it should have been. And maybe you would say the same thing. You say, Brother Scott, oh, absolutely. There's been some times that I thought some things about a situation that were just not true. And I think that's what we can see here from Elijah. Notice his words. These are Elijah's conclusions, his human reasoning. And we notice two things that he says. Look at verse 4 of chapter 19. Notice what he says. The end of the verse. Here's what he's asking the Lord. He says, Lord, he requested of himself that he might die and said, it is enough. The statement, it is enough. Elijah is basically saying, well, this is where it ends. I've reached the end of my ministry, Lord. I'm at the end of everything that you want me to do. He's basically saying there's nothing left to be done, Lord. But we understand that Elijah is in a place where the Lord wants to do more with him. He's not through with him. He not only says that this is where it ends, it is enough. But notice what he says here, the second part. He says, oh, Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. What does he say here? He says, Lord, I just haven't measured up. You know, this revealed a flaw in Elijah's thinking. And Elijah here is revealing a bit of a goal in his heart, which was to be better than somebody else. You know, that's a danger for all of us. You know, when we take our goals and we line them up with maybe what God has for somebody else, that can be very destructive to our lives. You know, God doesn't want us to run anybody else's race, and I love this. Pastors talked about this a lot. You know, we're running a race against our own flesh. And I'm so thankful that God does not require me to be David Pittman. He doesn't require me to be Jeremy Pittman or Brandon Lawrence. He just simply requires me to do my best to be Scott Devane. And Elisha is sort of, Elijah is at a point here where he's looking at his life and he says, you know what, it didn't work out how I wanted it to. My expectations were not met like I wanted them to. And quite frankly, when I look at my own life, it's not better than the next person. Boy, we get into a heap of a whole lot of trouble, don't we? You say, why is Elijah wanting to quit? Well, he's reasoning and concluding some things that are not healthy, and quite frankly, the Lord says we're not to do. He says, it is enough. He says, I'm not better than my fathers. And notice here, and really, this is Elijah at his lowest point. I want you to notice the response of the Lord here in God's refreshment. Notice this in verse 5. And so chapter 19 and verse 5, as we look at it, and it says, and after this, he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him, said unto him, arise and eat. He looked, behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in his head. And he did eat and drink, laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him, said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. The Lord's bringing about some refreshment now to Elijah. And I see some just a couple of practical things along this line. Number one, we see that God takes Elijah where he's at. Now, I sort of picture the Lord coming to Elijah and just sort of, you know what, letting Elijah just get done talking. You know, just get it out of his system. And now the Lord's going to come along. He's going to bring some refreshment. You know, the way the Lord could have responded, in fact, the way that you and I sometimes respond to other people can be very different. Maybe the Lord in our minds, maybe he could have, you know, gone to Elijah and said, all right, look, Elijah, just look, come back and talk to me when you have yourself together. Or Elijah, I'm not going to talk to you when you're like this. Or Elijah, look, you really need to get your life straightened out, and then once you do, come talk to me. But that's not what God does. That's not the way the Lord responds. In fact, he goes and he meets Elijah right where he is. You know, that's the blessing of the Lord, is that he's ready to meet us at the place that we are at. He's not holding a lofty standard and up in the air and saying, well, until you can meet this and this and this and this, I'm not going to talk to you. Now, certainly has the requirement of confessing sin and the communication lines being open there, but he meets Elijah where he's at. And I love that. Sometimes I get ahead of where my kids are at. We'll be having a conversation. They'll do something wrong. I'll go to him and I'll say, okay, now listen, you guys need to have proper manners, okay? There are certain things that we do and we don't do at the kitchen table. There are certain things that we do and we don't do when we're in public and out and talking to people. And I'll go on and wax eloquent and then I'll say, did you hear me? They'll say, yes, sir. I said, okay, you got every word. Yes, sir. I'll say, okay. A minute will go by, they'll come to me and say, Daddy, what's manners? Say, wait a second, I guess I got ahead of myself here, okay? Am I the only one that's happened to? I don't think so, okay? Sometimes we get ahead of where other people are. Well, God's never that way. He goes right to where Elijah is. He goes right to where the need is. And he begins to refresh him a little bit. You know, I love the compassion of the Lord, and this is a part of his nature. But will you listen to Psalm 103, verse 8? I'm going to read some of these verses, but just listen to the mercy and graciousness of our God. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so is great his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower is the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it and is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear him, and is righteous unto children's children. God's bringing his refreshment to Elijah. He's bringing it, and he gives it in the form here of some physical substance. And there are times when we need refreshment and we need rest. And there's a stillness to this moment. And I would just say this, as the Lord brings refreshment to our lives when we're struggling, tempted to quit in areas that we know we shouldn't, there's a quietness and a stillness. Elijah, he begins to rest. The angel comes to him, begins to feed him. He says, all right, listen, go back to sleep. You need your rest. You know, sometimes when we're tempted to quit in some areas, sometimes we try to cope by looking for distraction so we don't have to think about it. Maybe we fill that void by entertainment, keeping our thoughts busy instead of being still before the Lord. You know, don't mistake it, Elijah's not reaching for his iPhone and checking his Instagram here, okay? He's not trying to see, well, let me see what's happening with Jezebel and checking the Jerusalem Post and all of that to see. No, there's a quietness and a stillness. He's allowing the Lord to minister to him. There's refreshment that's going on here. That takes place in the form of rest, physical food. The Lord gives him that. But notice God's revelation. Not only do we see Elijah's effort, Elijah's expectation, his estimation, we see God's refreshment in verses 5 through 7. Now notice with me God's revelation. Notice in verse 7 here, the angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, arise and eat, because, and this is the revealing part here, because the journey is too great for thee. The Lord's still refreshing Elijah. He's giving him a important piece of information here. And what is he telling him? We learn two things. Number one, I believe that the Lord is telling him here that God's not done with Elijah. He says, listen, there's a journey. There's still something that I have for you. In other words, Elijah, I'm not answering your prayer. Okay? Now, I'm not just going to bring you home because you were wrong in the sense that this is not the time to quit. This is the time to get refreshed, recharge, and get back in the fight. Because there is a journey that I have for you. And Elijah, I know that you can't see all the details regarding it, but I do. And I know the journey that I have for you. And he shows him here, he says, God is not done with Elijah. And can I just say this, that in whatever area that the Lord may be speaking to your heart about, God's not done with you. God's not done with that relationship. God's not done with that prayer request. God's not done with that responsibility that he's given you. Listen to these words. He has a journey for us. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which you know, which thou knowest not. Psalm 34 and verse 8, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I love these words. Proverbs 16 and verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. When you and I are tempted to quit or throw in the towel, let's remember that God is not done with us. Well, the flip side of this statement, he says the journey is too great for thee. Not only do we see that God's not done with Elijah, but God is telling him that Elijah's not done with God. See, that statement is twofold there. He says, this journey is too great for thee. Elijah's learning that if he's going to go forward, it's going to be only with the Lord's help. You know, Paul learned this lesson, didn't he? Paul came to the place where he said, you know what, I can do all things through Christ. Paul said, you know, I've got a thorn in the flesh, and I personally can't. But God can. And through God's grace, God's not done with Elijah, but Elijah's not done with God. Let's hasten tonight. We've seen God's revelation. I want us to notice Elijah's evasion. So what's the response to all of this? What is it that Elijah is? Is Elijah ready to turn the corner now? Has he been so as refreshed and changed in his thinking that now he's ready to charge forward with God's plan and the journey that God has for him? What's his response? Notice Elijah's evasion, verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Well, I don't know about you, but it doesn't look like Elijah is quite where God's leading him. It doesn't sound like he's quite let it set in that God has plans for him and that he's going to be able to do it in the Lord's power and only then. Elijah's still struggling in his mind. He still has some questions in his mind. And he's evading a little bit, and sometimes you and I can do the very same thing, but how does the Lord settle this? Well, notice God's response finally. Look at 11 and 12, verse 11 and 12. And to me, this is so powerful. Notice what it says. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And notice God's power here. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains. Break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Drop down. And after the wind, an earthquake. Notice verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. God has one more lesson for Elijah to take away from this event that is going to, I believe, leave a lasting impression in Elijah's mind. Two things from these two verses here. Number one, God sometimes moves mountains. Can you just for a second allow yourself to be in the shoes of Elijah? The Lord says, all right, Elijah, I want you to come and I want you to stand here on the mountain. The Lord says, the Lord passed by. Then you have these events that are taking place. A wind comes and the mountain breaks. We see that there's an earthquake that takes place. And these are big events. And can you imagine standing there and watching all of this take place? And I believe the Lord was giving a demonstration of God's power. And just how the Lord can take mountaintop miracles and make them happen. How he can sometimes move mountains. And maybe right now in your life, you can think of mountaintop miracles that God has done in your life. Boy, I can think of maybe three or four events in my life that I look back on and I say, there's just no explanation. It was all God. And you know what? Those things are awesome to look at and to think about. And God does, from time to time, he does work that way. But that's not the only way he works. God sometimes moves mountains, but God often works in a still, small voice. And you know, that's not any less powerful. And that doesn't mean that God is any less God. Because there's a lot of great things that are done every day through the avenue of a still small voice. You know, as I was thinking about this, I think about how the Lord gave us his Holy Spirit. And really, that's a miraculous thing to think that God lives inside of us. And I think about some things that the Lord has convicted me of or just even called me to do that I was just assured of in my heart by him and him alone that was the right thing to do. That's a still small voice. I think about the book of Acts, and we just got reading through that book with the teenagers and studying it out. And boy, how the Lord took the gospel and it just exploded over the known world. And those disciples, they turned the world upside down. And I think about how when Paul heard the Macedonian call, come over and help us, it was a still small voice in which thousands in Macedonia would come to know Christ as their Savior. You know, there's something to be said for a still small voice. And I believe the still small voice is an illustration of how the Lord is often working behind the scenes in ways that we don't even understand. You see the disappointment on Elijah's face. He's struggling. He reached a point, probably the lowest that we have recorded in Scripture, where he wants just the Lord to take him home. He looks back at an expectation that never really materialized on Mount Carmel. He says, Lord, this was the moment. Lord, did I let you down? Lord, will revival ever come to Israel? I believe the God of heaven is just simply reminding Elijah that, you know what, Elijah, sometimes I work in miracles on a mountain. But don't limit that work. And don't minimize it in such a way as to think that revival will never come to my people. It's all part of the work. It's all part of the plan. You know, I think about the power of a still small voice. Some of you have prayer requests that you've been praying for and asking the Lord to materialize for some time. This past week, the Lord answered a 7-year-old prayer request of ours. It was quite exciting, and I suppose all parents, or hopefully all parents, are this way. Whenever you find out you're expecting and you start thinking about that little newborn, you start thinking about what kind of person they're going to become. You start thinking about the kind of impact they could have and how the Lord could use them. And along with that, you maybe start to pray that the Lord would save them at a young age. I know that was our prayer for both our children, Philip and Andrew. And a couple of years ago, our youngest, Andrew, started asking about salvation. And he was starting to understand bits and pieces of it up until about a year ago. I believe he understood everything about salvation except was lacking one thing, the understanding that he himself needed it. If you would have asked him, Andrew, tell me how to get saved, he could have told you. In fact, because of our Awana groups and because of our school here, Temple Baptist School, most of the verses that you would use to lead a child to the Lord, he had memorized. But he was lacking that personal connection. This past Wednesday night, Brother Alan Sutphin came and he preached a message from this pulpit. We were having teen time over in the youth room, virtual teen time. After this service was over, Andrew made a beeline to the room. He came in and he came up to my wife and I, and he said, we had a missionary speak in the service tonight, and he used these words. He said, God spoke to my heart. He said, I need to be saved. That's that still small voice. Can I encourage you tonight? And I know our thoughts have been here and there, but I don't know what you're being tempted with to quit on. It could be a big thing, or it could be a smaller thing that God has simply called you to do or wants you to be doing. Can I just encourage you to not get so caught up in the one-time miracle event that sometimes we just look for? But rather know that God has the ability and the power to work behind the scenes in any given situation at any time. And it's for that reason that we don't have to quit. We can have faith in God. We can have faith that He's got a journey and He's got a plan that's greater than we can even imagine. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight as we close the service. I wonder if there's someone in our church that you look to a situation and you just say, you know, Brother Scott, I've been putting a lot of effort into something, and I haven't necessarily seen the fruit that I was hoping for. Can I encourage you, don't quit tonight? Maybe you say, Brother Scott, I have some expectations that have not been met. You know, we have all been there, and I would simply implore you and I both to make sure that our expectations are in line with that of the Lord's. Maybe say, Brother Scott, I've made some estimations, and I've compared a situation to that of somebody else's, and because the outcome has not been the same as another individual, I've been discouraged. Can I encourage us tonight not to look to other people? Regardless of your struggle this evening, may we understand that we serve a God that loves us that is there to bring His continued refreshment into our lives and is there to allow us and help us to persevere in all things. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we take just a second to pause during this invitation time, Lord, I ask that You would be with that heart that is struggling, Lord. Maybe it's a ministry, Father, that they've been involved in here at Temple that they've been tempted to, Lord, fall out of when things get started again. Maybe, Lord, it's a prayer request or even something that has not been mentioned tonight that they need to be doing. Father, would You encourage them not to quit? And Lord, may each of us purpose to keep our eyes fixed upon You and Your expectations for us. Oh God, we love You and ask that Your will and way would be done. In the quietness of this invitation time, in Your name we pray. Amen.